All right. It's time for the Dave and Ian show. The 106th best show you know.
It's true. That's where we rank.
When you have time and remember that it's there, you might download it and maybe even care. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
I'm David Dedrick.
And this is episode 180. Yeah, we can't believe it either.
Why can't we believe
it? It's too many episodes.
It's just too many. We've done it so many now.
No one asked for that many. No one wanted this much. We are the mother at that meal, and she's now on her fifth entree, and she's brought out a big ham. And everyone's like, oh, trying to be polite, and they just got to eat this whole ham. And so please enjoy about an hour's worth of ham from David and myself.
I had a friend, and his mom, well, she was a Dutch lady.
Did she make big flat pancakes?
She did not make big flat pancakes, actually, no. But their breakfasts were surprisingly odd.
Explain.
Because they had sandwich meat for breakfast. And you could put chocolate sprinkles on the toast, which blew my mind.
It's pretty good.
It is pretty good. But the reason I brought her up was because I guess her command of English wasn't as good as mine.
Okay.
Being that I grew up here and she did not.
Right, yeah. But
I don't want to brag.
Uh-huh.
But there's a little thing called I was born here. Well, not actually here. Close by to here.
Mm-hmm.
About 4 or 6 hours away. Anyway, so she'd be doling out the potatoes.
Not true at all. You were born in the States.
Yeah, 6 hours away.
Okay. All right.
So.
All right, Yankee Doodle. Go ahead. Criticizing all the other nations of the world. What do you put on your bread? Chocolate sprinkles. That's ridiculous. I'm going to go put some honey on this.
That's way too sweet.
Yeah, that's right.
Where's the honey?
Yeah.
Where's the Rogers Golden Syrup? That'll take it back, eh? Rogers Golden Syrup?
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, the mistake people would make with Roger's Golden Syrup was
they go to Roger and try to get it from directly.
I only wholesale. I don't do any retail. Like, God.
But if you come around back.
How about for me? No.
Okay.
The dealers get mad. No, if you didn't use butter on the bread and you just put the Roger straight on, you got it all crusty, like a weird kind of crusty, like the sugar. Ugh. Anyway, she would be dealing with the mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. But then she'd be like, do you want some more? And I would say, oh, no, that's okay. Meaning, that's okay, I've had enough. She would take that as okay and just plop another bunch on my plate. And then I was obligated, of course, to eat it all.
Right.
Because that's the law
and
of
this
being
is,
a guest.
And so this was not for breakfast, these mashed potatoes.
No.
Do you know what? It seems like mashed potatoes would be a good breakfast food because they take a lot less effort than, say, hash browns. You don't need that kind of like chewing and sharp, jaggedy points.
Yeah.
And whatever in your mouth in the morning. Look, you want something soft.
Yeah.
It'll just go in there and it won't choke you. Like if you start to choke, it'll just go down. Like you can't lose.
How did hash browns become like a popular, more? Because it's a lot of work. They got to grate the potato. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know.
And that's not great.
Look.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So that's.
I knew it was dumb. That's why I made the ironical laugh after.
Well, we all know it's dumb. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You know what?
We're all in on the joke.
That's right. And the problem is you've got such a good command of the English language, you've got no excuse. You had a whole variety of words to use. If you were a Dutch lady, I'd go, good for you, Dutch lady.
Uh-huh.
But you know, and then she'd walk off with her wooden shoes, you know, clop a clop a clopping off the way. Now, here's the thing.
Don't be an ingrate.
So anyway, here's why I think you've got hash browns.
Uh-huh.
Because when you make a meal, you want to have contrast. You want to have sweet and salty. You want to have balance.
Okay.
So you've got eggs, and eggs are soft. I need something now with a bit of crispness. You could go toast. Toast is fine.
Toast is great.
But sometimes people don't want toast.
No.
And so you go with a little crispy hash browns to balance it out.
Sure. They said, you know what I want? I want little bits of potato cooked together.
Yeah. You don't want soft and then soft and some soft. Mm-hmm. You don't want a whole bunch of soft because then you feel like I must be in some sort of retirement home. And I'm just imagining that I'm a young man. And then you go, oh, wait, this is a scary line of thought.
Yeah.
Because probably when I'm in a retirement home, I will imagine that I'm back here and being young. How will I know the difference? Shit, there's no way to know the difference. Let me just taste this food. It's all soft. Damn. I guess death will come for me soon, you say. The end.
Wow. That's a... Good night, everyone.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
Hey, guys.
Shortest Sneaky Dragon of all time.
Sure. Oh, dude.
What we're saying is 180 is a big number.
Yep.
And you know what?
It's a full turn. We've done a full turn. We're the absolute opposite of where we began.
So that's 5 weeks from now. No, that doesn't make any sense. Forget what I was going to say. I was going to say 5 weeks from now, we'll have done 20 more shows.
Wow. But
actually, in 5 weeks, we'll have done 5 more shows, which is what I should have said.
Are you all right?
You know what? I could have not said that at all, but I just thought I'd share the way that my brain doesn't work.
Fair enough.
And I thought that was pretty nice of me. I'm an open person and very honest.
I'm going to throw something out to our listeners. Two things. One, if you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday.
Or Saturn.
Here's the thing. Dave and I are going to be at VanCaff the following Saturday and Sunday. Yeah. Now, that's a comics arts festival in Vancouver. Go to our website, sneakerdragon.com. We'll have some listing about that. Here's the thing. If you want, say, shirts or interesting merchandise that's a little unusual, maybe like you look at one of Dave's title cards that hasn't been made into a shirt before, and you want one of those, if you let us know on Saturday or Sunday, we can get it made for you for the actual convention. So if you want something unique, if you want like a postcard, if you want a poster, if you want something unusual, we're still looking for ideas of what to bring. We're flakes, is what I'm saying. We really have not
It really kind of sprung up on me, I feel I don't know what I was
doing. Absolutely. And then you've got like
It's almost like we're doing two podcasts a week.
Yeah, no kidding.
And have no spare time.
Absolutely no time. And then some of us, have houses. Both of us now. And so, anyway, the point is, if you want something special, we will get that for you. So just let us know. Contact us on the Sneaky Dragon board, sneakydragon.com.
Lots of ways.
And yeah, lots of ways. You know the ways. Facebook, what have you. And we'll do that. And if you want to come and say hi and go like, oh, I can't afford to go to a con. Hey, Cheapy Pete.
listen to this.
Hey, wait. Let me just talk to this person who said
that. Oh, sorry.
Let me tell them. I'm not saying this to you. I'm going to say this to them.
Okay.
Hey, shut up. Not you. Them. Shut up. Let me talk to you for a second. It's free. Boom. What more do you want? It's free. It's near a SkyTrain station.
Well, it would be good if you went and they paid you to go. That'd be pretty good.
Do you know what you get paid? You get paid the gift of a wonderful convention full of wonderful talent. And, hey, there's like workshops, maybe I'm part of one, and panels that you can go see for free. Entertaining.
Tell me this, Ian.
Riddle me this, Batman.
Are some former guests of the show at this VanCaff as well?
Sure they are. Well, I'm going to tell you, like a Shane McCarthy who's visiting from Australia.
He might be with us at VanCaff.
You know what? He'll be with us in our hearts.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. Pia Guerra, she's been on the show.
He doesn't actually want to attend the show?
Yeah, he does.
Oh.
And also will be in our hearts.
He'll be in both places.
He can miniaturize himself now like the Atom and will actually be in our hearts clearing. Sure.
Thank you in advance.
Pia will be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know who's never been on the show but has always been around the hall, across the hall, is James Lloyd.
I don't know why he isn't on the show. It's dumb that we're right across
the corridor.
Right across the hallway from us is one of the most talented artists in Vancouver.
And James Lloyd is there too.
And we have not invited either of them on the show.
Mm-hmm. Were we both going for the same joke? Nina Matsumoto. Incredibly talented person. So talented, they had her do the poster.
She did the poster.
She will be there.
She's so talented, she did the poster and didn't put the date on it.
Well, that's not her fault. That's someone else. Listen.
Nina, hey, come on.
Guys.
Yes.
Do you like sex?
I'm a guy.
Well, here's the thing. Erica Mohn, who has not been on our show.
Yeah.
But does a webcomic called Oh Joy Sex Toy.
Yeah.
Which you could look at, but not on the bus, because you'll get embarrassed when someone looks over your shoulder. She'll be there.
Yeah.
People do tiny kitten.
We tried to get her on the show. She wouldn't come on. I think she's mad about my website, Oh No Dildo.
That's right. That's a complete ripoff. Yeah. In fact, you just copy what she does that week and put it on your site.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Except you do more mansplaining.
More mansplaining. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know what I do is I do Iron Mansplaining. Make up like a whole bunch of really...
You talk really fast.
Yeah, a lot of jargon. I do videos of myself in that Tony Stark head thing with a lot of graphics in front of my face.
Sure, with an elaborate beard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, like how long does
too
he take?
Too elaborate, yeah.
How long does it take to shave? He puts the Iron Man helmet on while he's doing his stuff, it's shaving him as well inside.
Yeah.
Jetson style.
That's probably what
it does. What we're saying is there's a lot of very talented people that are going to be there.
Sure. And
us too. And you're going to enjoy it. So if you can come down to it, please do. Here's the other thing. We're trying to figure out right now. We haven't made final plans yet, but we have.
We're looking to build an ark.
Yeah. We're writing a will and building an ark. Both of the things. We're leaving all our money to animals.
Oh, yes. Okay.
What
they,
were
they each get $2.
I'm leaving all my money to people that suffered through that film Noah. Mm. Anyone who had to like sit through the whole film Noah, I think, deserves some compensation. So that's where I'm leaving all my money.
You know who enjoyed that movie?
Noah won?
Noah won, yeah.
Holy Moses. Okay, so anyway, we are looking for what to do for our 200th show. We've got a rough plan. We're not going to say what it is.
Yep.
But I'm going to ask you, the listener, what do you want for our 200th show?
Sure.
Should we do a live show? Should we just do it ourselves? Should we each do one solo show, like one solo episode and talk about each other?
Sure.
And then you can try and shuffle it together. Do you want us to do an animated version of ourselves?
Short. Mine would be
Should
very
we
short.
Do puppets?
Puppets, yeah.
You tell me.
We can make felt pigs.
Should I hire two very talented actors to portray us for the
a tribute to Sneaky Dragon?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that idea. I like the idea of some talent. But basically, we'd have to stop then because we can never like live up to someone talented doing the show.
This is a complete side thing. There is a school in town that teaches improv. It's a very good school.
I know it.
And it's a Blind Tiger is their names.
Oh, I thought it was Hard Knocks, but okay.
No. Their name is Blind Tiger, and I know a whole bunch of people that are part of it. And very shortly after they formed, I was sitting down with them, and they told me the name, and they the name is it's what they used to call a speakeasy. You know, it was a Blind Tiger. You could also be a Blind Pig, but we went Blind Tiger because it sounds cooler. And I said to them, so you're not just a Def Leppard cover band. Well, what do you mean? Well, Blind Tiger and Def Leppard, it sounds like you're a cover band.
Sure.
And they all at once went, fuck.
Just broke up.
Nope, at that moment. They've still continued.
Oh, okay. As Blind Tiger?
Yeah. By the way, if you're looking to learn sketch comedy or improv, those guys are your way to go in Vancouver.
If they were Def Leppard, though, it would be spelled BLYNDTYGER.
Yeah, you really got to spell it stupid.
Yeah. Well, it's trademarkable.
Who was the first one to do that? Led Zeppelin? Yeah,
I would say so. Let me think. Well, the Beatles, actually.
Yeah, as well.
Yeah, let's go back a little farther. Come on, Dave. Don't be so hasty.
No one before the Beatles did the misspelling of the name to...
No, I don't think
Buddy Holly and the Crickets were actually the Crickets?
Yep, the Crickets, but like cricket.
Okay, no. Good for the Beatles actually doing that.
Yeah, because they were punsters. They were punsters.
How is spelling something differently punning?
Because it was beat music.
Oh!
And they were playing it off.
Why did you never mention this on our damn Beatles podcast?
I believe that I did.
Find me that reference, sir. Just listen to all the episodes, if you could.
You know, you don't need to cover everything.
Did we call it completely Beatles then?
You want to leave a little bit?
No. We didn't call it Beatles. We didn't call it most of the Beatles. We call it completely Beatles.
You, of all people, know that every show should leave people wanting more. And I think Sneaky Dragon is the epitome of that. But completely Beatles, we brought a little bit of that too. There's a soupçon of... information not given.
Yeah. Do you know what show really did leave people wanting more? Was the Dick Van Dyke Show.
How do you mean?
She was very sexy.
Oh, Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe. That's right. He's gone senile. He's in a retirement home. This is his fantasy. He's remembering when he was young and did a podcast. Yeah. The robots have just inserted the juice into your head. Yeah.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah. Just don't leave this door because your memories don't go farther than this door. Okay. Don't go anywhere you didn't go as a young man because you cannot create new memories.
We were having dinner before we came to do the show.
Yep.
And the waiter asked that terrible question that they are now paid to ask.
Who's going
to
pay?
That's hard. That's a hard one to answer.
No, here's the first thing he did. Mm. You guys ready for some dessert? I'm not really sure. I'm going to leave this menu with you. Damn it. Yeah. Damn it. Why are you leaving a menu with it? We didn't say we wanted.
Yeah.
Give us a choice before we give them a menu. I'm just going to leave this with you.
Wait for two more years when they put the holographic image of the desserts on the table. Mm-hmm. And then you have this little thing that's like a rotating images of like delicious dessert. You know, and it has the cheesecake dripping with a strawberry sauce on it, and then it fades and it becomes like the monster brownie with the ice cream and the maraschino cherry and the whipping, and you're just like, you know, I really wasn't thinking that I'd have some dessert, but now that I see this, it doesn't seem like such a bad idea.
No, because here's what happens then, is then you change the chip a little bit and make a hologram of yourself sitting there, and then you do a dine and dash, and it's not until they try to like... touch you and their hand goes through and they go, oh no, technology has bitten us.
Is that the future of hologram technology? Is just for people to pretend to be still in restaurants?
So they can dine and dash, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Clever.
But at least continue with your story.
Clever. My story's done. No, he asked us that question, which is, what are you going to do tonight? you know,
with the rest of your night.
Yeah, what are you going to do the rest
of
your night?
Now, it's a weird question because here's the thing. It's, you know, we're recording this at around 11-ish or whatever, something like that.
Sure.
All right. Let's say it was about 10.
Let's round up.
When did you think he asked the question? 10 o'clock? 10 p.m.?
Yeah, around there, 10 to 10 or so.
Right. So it's 10 to 10. It's a Thursday.
Yeah.
What are you guys going to do with the rest of your night? What do you think we should do with the rest of... We shouldn't do anything with the rest of our night.
Truly.
We should be done. This should be the end of the story.
If we were smart... That's true.
Why are you asking that question? It's a weird question to ask, you know? Maybe...
It's because they're not thinking of the time. They're just programmed to ask that question.
Yeah.
So, it's in their manual.
So, okay, I'll be the guy asking you the question, and then you answer it as you answer it.
As I answered it?
Or as you should answer it. Either way. You can be Dave or someone smarter than Dave. Okay, either way. So what are you all doing with the rest of your night?
Marilyn Monroe.
Why is that? Because I'm Jack Kennedar, President Jack Kennedar. Sorry, I'm visiting from the future. I've just projected my brain backwards into
I'm a hologram.
I want to go.
Left. I've actually dined and dashed.
I want to go use the bathroom, but I don't know. I didn't visit it when I was young, so it would just be a screaming blackness if I opened that door. So I'm not going to do that. So okay. So no, what we said was
well, we were honest.
I know that's
which is what were we
terrible.
Yeah, that was a dumb idea.
Terrible. It's you don't ever be honest with that. Like, well, we got some more work. We got work to do. We got to go back to work.
Yeah, but even that is...
Yeah, because he wants follow-up.
Yeah,
he's like, just let it go, man.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you guys doing? We're doing a podcast.
You could just say, we're just going to wrap it up tonight. Like, you know, after this, we're
that's
just going to head on home.
I know it is. You're Johnny Honest.
I know it is. I know. But you're missing the point about my honesty thing.
You lied about it when you said honesty was the best.
I don't want absolute, like, insane candor about every
aspect
of people's life.
That's not insane candor. That's what are you guys doing tonight?
No, it's you know, come on. Who cares? Just shuffle them off somewhere else. You know, just a few words that mean nothing. It's fine. It's like if someone says to you, you just smashed your car and ran over your cat, and then someone asks how you're doing, and you go, pretty good. Well, clearly not doing pretty good, but you don't feel like going into this horror that you just went through.
Okay.
That's not a terrible lie that's going to curse you for all time.
Okay. Here,
the ground's going to open
you
and swallow
you. You be the waiter. You be the waiter.
And drag you to hell.
You ask
I'll
me,
be the waiter.
And you ask me the question, and I'll say what I should have said.
Did you look at the dessert menu?
I don't think we're getting anything for dessert tonight.
Why not? Didn't it look good to you?
Because the dessert killed my dad. You know, death by chocolate, that's named after his murder. That wasn't a joke in the 70s. And then someone thought it was, ha-ha, funny. And then it became popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the chocolate killed my dad. You know that sharp bit that's on the top? Ha-ha-ha. It's really funny when you eat it, but it's not so funny when it goes through your dad on Christmas.
So what are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, dumpster orgy.
We wish.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. How that works is... There's three dumpsters.
Yeah.
You don't get to pick. You get to pick, but you don't get to look inside.
Sure.
Now, how they do it is, one is attractive people having an orgy.
Yeah.
The other two are raccoons. And whatever one you pick, you got to spend a half hour inside
it. Sure.
That's the deal.
That sounds good.
That's the deal.
That's it.
So,
the lady or the raccoon.
That's right.
That's the puzzle. And the princess knows the answer, but is she going to tell you if it's a raccoons or if it's the pretty ladies?
Yeah.
And I'm picturing a lot of them in that dumpster.
Do you know what's a weird...
A giant mass, 30 naked women inside a dumpster.
And the one after... You
that
know what?
Sounds a good
Frankly, I'd take the raccoon.
There's a lot of writhing.
Yeah. Here's a weird game, by the way, Dave.
Okay.
I just got the Super Smash Brothers game.
Sure.
Because I got a friend coming from Australia, Shane McCarthy. And I want to get like some games that are fun to play with people.
Yeah.
You know, not angry loner games.
So you're testing them out?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
That's
by yourself.
Yeah, and here's the thing. They got all these characters who, you know, from various games.
Okay.
So you got your Sonic, you got your Princess
Peach.
Yeah. You know, you got whatever. So the problem is, though.
Princess Mononoke?
There's no Princess Mononoke. So I always go random with my choosings.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you're Sonic beating the hell out of Princess Peach. You're in a fight with her.
Yeah.
And that doesn't feel right to me. Like it would be sexist to not include her in this.
Sure.
And
but
you
as
know
a
what?
Gentleman.
Yeah. I don't think Pac-Man should be trying to kick Princess Peach off a ledge into a volcano. It just feels un-Pac-Man-like to me.
It feels like...
Mario does it too. He should
to me,
really not do it.
To me, it feels like the true equality of the sexes has been reached.
True.
There's no farther that we can go with this.
And she does beat you much worse than you could ever beat her. She is an amazing fighter. This is the thing with video games.
It's a well-known fact how tough Peaches are.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't expect the Pit to be in there. That's right. Forgot it, right?
They're the Pits.
Forgot the Pit, Pit, and then there's the Pit.
That's right.
If you ever played Street Fighter, you're playing in your...
I only played Street Fighter 2.
Okay, well, this will also pertain to
you.
Oh,
okay.
So you think like, oh no, that guy, the big beast guy who turns electric and has orange hair and he's green, that guy's trouble. Well, you can sort of beat him. He's fine.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, here's Chung Li.
Put a bucket of water on him.
Here's Chung Li. Oh, it's just...
The drunken old man?
It's a lady. It's a beautiful lady.
Oh, okay.
And she's there and you're dead because she's the toughest. Same thing with like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Like all the... Female characters are always the ones that will destroy you and mess you up. But it feels weird in the Nintendo world, which seems like a sweeter world, that you just have all these characters just beating holy hell out of each other. It's still very fun, and I'm not going to stop playing it. It just feels wrong at the time.
So you're thinking this is right up Shane's alley?
You know what? I know what's right up Shane's alley, and what a terrible name for a podcast that would be. And that is Mad Max. He's Australian.
Okay.
And basically, Mad Max to Australians is like a religion.
He doesn't even apologize for being Australian.
No, I know.
That's how Australian he is.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because apologizing for being Australian makes you Canadian.
That's true enough.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But he loves Mad Max, so we're going to see that when he's here.
Mm-hmm.
Because
there's a really good movie in that series.
Oh, I'd like to know which one of the...
Road Warrior. Very good.
And that is the first one.
No, that's the second one.
Yeah. So the first one is Mad Max.
The first one kind of builds up to it, and the problem with... The Mad Max, the original film, is that when I saw it, it was before you could see the Australian version of it. So you got the one with the terrible American accents dubbed over all the actors. Uh-huh. Really terrible. And it's an okay film.
Now, it's
not as good as a Road Warrior.
Is it similar to Evil Dead, where the first one is, that's okay, but you're learning your way. And
I really like the first one.
Of Evil Dead?
Yeah, I really like it a lot.
Do you like it better than the second one?
No, I don't. But they're two different films to me.
Is that the same thing with Road Warrior, would you say? Or is it basically the same film?
Road Warrior, Mad Max is a bit duller.
And then by the time you get to the third one of both, now you're really getting Hollywood-y.
Then they blew it.
You know, now you're getting really over the top. Like, it stretched things out too far.
I that film.
State your case.
When did it come out? Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome, do you know?
About a week ago.
That?
I don't know.
My memory's going. Quite a while ago, right? I mean, let's say 86.
Well, that makes...
85? 86?
I'm going to say a little earlier, because Tina Turner was a good idea for a movie.
Okay.
So that would mean 84,
Private
probably.
Private Dancer, 84. And we were talking earlier, and I said I saw a sneak preview of Pee-wee's Big Adventure before Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. It was a weird thing to watch two movies in one night. Maybe that was too much. But anyway, that's the last time I saw the film. So talking about... Mad Max Beyond the Thunderdome. Really, my memories of it are just a general feeling of resentment.
And you haven't seen it since?
I have not. Why would I?
Because you go to a friend's house, and they're like, we're going to watch this movie. Do you want to see it? And you're like, yeah, okay.
Why would they do that?
Because they're your friend, and they want to watch the movie.
No.
Your friends never watch old movies.
Yeah, but good ones.
Oh, snap.
It's like, be like going over to your friends, and they're like, you know what? I'm going to watch The Room. You want to watch that with me? I would say no.
Well, it depends if they're.
I'd say
everyone's
I saw
gonna
it.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it and I'm done. Well, I saw it via Riff Tracks.
Okay.
That's the best way to see films like that. Then you get the film, but you also get the review of the film while it's being played.
Right. Or if you want to see it locally and live, Gentleman Heckler's also pretty good.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm doing a Gentleman Heckler show.
This is a plug, everybody.
It is a plug.
Secret plug.
On the 31st, I believe I'm doing a show. At, I think, Northwest Fan Fest, we're doing the Plan 9 from Outer Space, which I think is the only way to see that film as well.
Yeah.
With some mockery.
Well, we did talk about that. Just those films, they sound great. It sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
And then you watch them and you're just, this is terrible. Like, this is boring and dumb.
The only way those films make sense is this. If you're with a girl that you like.
Sure.
And you have a good laugh off the top.
Yeah.
And then you go, I'm bored. Me too. Let's make out. And then you make out. Then it's good.
Yeah.
Then you're like, let's make out until we're bored of making out. And then let's make fun of the film some more. And then let's order some pizza. Now we're fine. Everything's good.
To be fair to Robot Monster, the girl in Robot Monster is really hot.
Okay.
Like, really hot. And that makes that film watchable. In every other way, the Bubble Machine's pretty interesting. But in every other way, that film is no good. Except for the girl and the Bubble Machine. After that, forget about it.
Okay.
It's not a good film. That's fair, my review. That's fair my enough. Review of it.
This used to be like a big thing in the 80s. There was a lot of TV stations that would air like Dracula versus Billy the Kid. They'd air it at like 1 in the morning.
Stop it.
Because people would, it's so bad, it's good. It no. was, you know.
There's no such thing as that.
Well, here's the thing. Like, we were talking last week about Letterman. And I think that was the, you know, thing where Letterman would look at something mundane.
Yes.
And would be very sarcastic about it and make fun of it. And it was that kind of type of mocking of, you know, the bland, the plain, the normal.
Yeah.
And so I think that extended then to let's watch old movies that were kind of bland and boring. We're going to mock those as well. And that was kind of where that mindset came. So, you know, they show a bit of the movie, then you cut to a sarcastic guy who'd go, well, that, blah, 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 and then back to the movie, then back to the, blah, 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 and then there. Then finally, the Mystery Science Theater folks, why don't we just talk through the whole damn thing? There you go. And that set that tone.
Yeah.
And here we are today.
Well, they...
You in a nursing home, imagining that you're a young
remembering
man.
Remembering that time. Yes. Full of booster juice. It's boosting my memory.
That's right. There was a Starbucks on every corner. How could that be, Grandpa? They were! I swear!
Crazy.
We didn't have 3D printers.
No. Why would you want it? I know they're good. I'm just joking. Yeah, I know. I just... Well, we were talking about, I just feel like we're kind of mining past show, but the whole like 50 worst films of all time and the Golden Turkey Awards, that actually predated David Letterman and like that, that kind of stuff. That more grew out of, I think, more of like maybe, I think to me, it kind of grew out of like the whole Times Square scene of seeing movies, of seeing bad films. Okay. And, you know, that kind of like, those kind of really crummy martial
People
arts
would
movies.
Go to rep houses.
Yeah. And stuff like that. And they'd be playing, you know, the mixed up people and da-da-da, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
the name of that film.
Got,
you know
they
what I'm
got
talking
mixed
about.
Up and then they did a thing and I had a thing. Yeah. I know what movie you're talking about.
Yeah.
I remember Siskel and Ebert, when they first did sneak previews, they used to have Dog of the Week. And in the first bunch of shows they did, and yeah, they had the dog run out and they'd talk about a bad movie. And then they decided, let's not do that. This is mean. Let's just talk about good movies or be fair. Though nowadays...
What really happened is that Basset Hound asked for a raise, and that was it for that segment.
Right, and then he cursed them both. And that Basset Hound, it took a long time, but...
Yeah, he won in the end.
Yeah. That's a terrible thing. There's a podcast now, Malton on Movies, which is Leonard Maltin.
That's original.
And... a fella who used to...
Don't they know there already is a Leonard Maltin who's been doing movie reviews for a long time?
Oh, this
time?
Is the same guy.
Oh, okay. Forget what I said.
And he's now teamed up with a fellow who used to spend a lot of time in town because he was doing some show here, like Psych or something. It was something along those lines.
Yeah.
Baron Vaughn, who's a very funny stand-up comic.
Okay.
And he makes the show... I think Baron Vaughn makes the show work. They work together quite well.
Yes.
Like, you know...
Leonard Maltin's very earnest.
And he makes... Yeah, Baron makes the
and
show
Baron
palatable.
Goes to jail.
He does not.
Oh.
He's but it's fine. But they do how they do it is they do a movie that they like, then they do a movie that's a stinker or turkey, and then they do a sleeper, which is a film that people might not know
people
about.
People might not know is very good.
Let's tell you about that film.
That sounds interesting.
It is
that sounds better than our show.
Let's listen to their show right now.
Let's go listen to it now.
I could probably get Baron on the show sometime. He's also in that new Jane Fonda, Lily Tom thing. We can talk about that in a second.
Savage Grace?
Yeah,
that movie's called?
Yeah, that's right. Cuts Like a Knife is what it's called. But I don't necessarily like that they go for the turkey movie in there.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, well, now you're just slamming a film because you need to slam a film. And it's just like, just tell me stuff
like
you
like.
Like
if you saw a film that was bad and you felt like people should know. You know,
right.
Don't go see Battlefield
But
Earth.
What they do is they pick a topic like robot movies. So it's a good robot movie, bad robot movie, weird movie.
I don't mind that.
Then maybe you should listen to that show.
I don't mind it. I don't mind where they're going with it.
Well, why don't you go do that show if you like it so much?
What was the bad robot? What was the turkey bad robot movie?
Oh, damn it. That is a tough one.
Is it that one, that really boring one that was done by Stanley Donen? I can't remember the name of it now. But it looked like it was supposed to be like a good movie. It was like 80s.
I want to say...
You know the one I'm thinking
of? I want to say Bicentennial Man for the robot movie, but
I don't know that one.
Oh, Terminator was the good robot movie.
Yeah, of course.
I forget what the... I have to look it up. But what movie are you thinking of for you?
I can't remember the name of it now. But it was like a really serious like science fiction film, but it's really kind of slow and dull.
Well, let me turn to Gavin, our listener. Gavin, what one is it?
Yeah,
let us know.
Tell us, please.
He'll let you know.
Yeah. Facebook us.
There was a thing with Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin have a new show on Netflix, which, I think
Saturn 5? Is that what it's called? Jupiter 6? I don't know. Anyway, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin have a new...
Jupiter 6, humanity nothing.
No, it's something like that.
The concept behind the show is they're ladies whose husbands, they've known each other for years, don't get along, but their husbands are friends. Oh. Husbands decide, we're going to let them know that we're gay. Now those women have to live together.
Why?
Because there's a beach house they share, and they don't want to be with their husbands in their homes because it's weird. So I think I just watched the first one.
Okay. You gave it a chance.
I gave it a chance, and it did everything. Like, it looked to me like... And maybe when I watched it, I said to Pia, who's my wife, who I watch movies with.
Sure. That's very fair.
I said, because there's like, I don't know, like 10 or 11 of them. I went like, I bet the 8th episode is good.
I like your stance on equal rights for women.
Thank you. But we're not getting one on this podcast.
No way.
No.
Strictly for the boys.
Ugh.
Boys club.
I'm not putting on pants.
Cooties.
So I was thinking like the 8th episode will probably be good. When they've got all this...
Of this show?
No, their show, because they'll get all the plot out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, and the first
sounds
one was
complicated.
Just all... It was all set up.
It sounds complicated.
Here
yeah.
comes everything that we've just explained in the title sequence. And I don't like that in a pilot where like you have a title sequence and the title sequence shows everything that's happened.
Are the husbands together? Or are they separately gay?
No, they're together gay.
That's dumb.
Eh, it's Sam Watterson and what's his name from West Wing? Michael...
Barney Fife.
Michael Barney Fife. That's right. Michael Sheen.
Michael Sheen. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice. Huh. Anyway, and so they're doing their thing.
He's a working guy.
But there was a bit of a controversy this week where apparently Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin found out that Watterson and Michael Sheen, Martin Sheen, jeez, they made the same amount of money they did, even though they were supporting actors, and there was a big, hullabee-doo-dee-doo about that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Though it's weird. When I hear that, one, I go like, oh, that's, I understand, I get it. I get it as a theme. If you just heard that, you go, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
And then I think, except these guys have been on TV a lot.
Yeah.
More than you guys. And like, if we're talking a draw to a show, then those guys are a big draw. You know, I mean, West Wing plays all the time on Netflix, like all the time, to death. Does incredibly well. So you got the guy from West Wing. Then you got the guy from Law and Order, which plays forever.
You got the drunk guy from Law and Order.
Yeah, the drunk guy from Law and Order. You got him. And so, you know, when you're talking about value and
worth. Don't you
always
think he's kind of drunk on that show? He's kind of with a slur.
Yeah, he's got a bit of that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Strange.
I'm trying to think, like, he wasn't the one on the show who it turned out was like, sleeping with his assistant, and then something happened, and she had a drink one time, and because of that, she died. There was weird stuff on the show. Everyone is leaving Law and Order. It's always this. It's just like they do something horrible in the last second, and you know,
on the show itself.
On the show,
you're not talking in real life.
No, they always have like a real bad end to everyone. If you're leaving Law and Order, you're going to explode or become corrupt in the last couple of seconds.
Yeah.
But when you talk about like,
it's called the George Zunza effect.
I mean, of course it feels bad that, you know, the supporting actors get paid the same as the main actors, unless the main actors don't give a shit, in which case who cares? Everyone gets paid the same. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about value for bringing viewers to a project, and I go like, okay, listen, I like Lily Tomlin as much as the next person, but what was the last, like,
what's the last thing she did?
Yeah, you're a
All of Me.
Supporting Well, you're a supporting actress in that Tina Fey movie with Paul Rudd. You're okay.
I didn't know that what you're talking about.
Fair enough. She was very funny in that.
Okay.
Though. Jane Fonda.
I liked her in I Heart Huckabees.
Yeah. She delivers every time.
I enjoyed the YouTube clip of the director yelling at her.
Yeah. Ooh, you just want to punch him in the face. Then Jane Fonda.
He was trying to get a performance.
They kept giving Jane Fonda all these movies, and no one kept going to them.
Of course not.
So there's that. And you
she
put
has
them,
a vo- she has that voice.
Yeah. And you put these two together,
mm-hmm.
and you go like, hey, this is 2/3 of the 9 to 5 crew. Maybe Dolly Parton wouldn't return a phone call.
You're missing
call.
The other half.
Zing.
Thank you.
So maybe it's bad. Maybe it's not bad. In theory, it seems bad. But I can see, if you're dealing with ratings, hey, this guy's a ratings. Anyway, that's that. And so on and so forth.
Your review of the show, how many golden pawns do you give it?
Out of how many golden pawns?
You decide.
Out of 5 golden pawns, I would give it 2.5 golden pawns, because they went the easy route.
Yeah.
Which was, first of all, they just do everything that they said they were going to do in the... you know, in the opening sequence, we get it. They're gay. We get it. Because you just showed us that. Now it's like, well, we got something to tell you. We know. Okay. And they don't like each other. We know. We watch the opening titles.
Yeah.
And we know. Just get to it. And it's like, we got to express our feelings somehow. So they have Lily Tomlin take some peyote. And then, you know, like Jane Fonda drops by. Well, what's going to happen? Jane Fonda is going to drink some tea. She doesn't know the peyote's in it. Here we go. We're doing that. Are we going to see what they see, maybe? Are we going to have some interesting visuals? No. Basically, everything that was done could have been done in a play and probably was done in a play and probably has been done in a lot of plays.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's fine. It covers the bases it's going to cover. It covers the market it's going to cover. It's fine. And I'd be interested in seeing the eighth episode in it. And I said that to Pia, and she went, the hell we are. I'm not watching this again. So I'm not watching it. Because, again, when you say equal rights, Pia has equal rights to the TV. And sure. Apparently we're not watching that stuff no more.
Equal rights to not let you watch TV.
She just, yeah. When it's
kind of a one-sided veto, but anyway, that's fine.
You know what? When it's
when it's
this kind of thing, I'll give her that.
You're not going to fight. You're not going to fight it.
I'm not going to use my re-veto or de-veto power on this show.
No. You don't want to be Devo when that happens.
Though, here's a, boy, I feel like I'm doing the Leonard Maltin thing right now. I've done a turkey. Now I want to do a sleeper.
Oh, okay.
Here's
a sleeper.
Here's one on Netflix.
Orange is the New Black.
I have not watched that.
That's your problem.
Okay. Here's the sleeper. It's a show called Ambassadors.
Okay.
And it's Mitchell and Webb, comedy team of Mitchell and Webb.
Very good.
And it's not a laugh out loud, wah-ha, but it's actually, it is a funny, interesting, dark show about two ambassadors in kind of a country with a dictator.
Okay.
And they deal with, but the thing I like about it is they actually are trying to do the right thing for England.
Yeah.
They're actually not jerks.
Yeah.
You know, they're sarcastic and there are funny scenes and they do a lot of broad comedy in it, but it's two people trying their best to, you know, and aren't dicks, which is an easy go-to. And none of them just do drugs out of nowhere just to have a funny scene.
There's no POTT
no.
in this show.
It's just like, why don't they just go like, hey, well, we're in the last quarter of the show. How about we drink some funny juice? Funny juice? Yeah. You've been drinking funny juice for what? Now I can reveal all my feelings. Too easy. Too easy TV show. Nope.
I have not seen it.
My sister, the telepath, is here, and she wants to tell you how she's really feeling.
I still haven't seen all of Daredevil, so
you know who hasn't. So you know behind. Who else hasn't? Matt Murdock.
He hasn't seen it either, because he's blind. Everybody, but he could watch. He could listen to it, all of it. Yeah. It wouldn't be very interesting, but I'm. We've been kind of busy for the last little while.
Okay,
I'm not gonna lie to you. We've been busy.
All right.
We impressed a waiter with our business. That's how busy we are. We impressed a waiter. Mm-hmm. And I think that's...
good luck, guys.
That's the guy looking for the tip.
Yeah. This was a young man.
Yes.
And here's what he said. Yeah, a lot of people say podcasts are good. I just don't... I should start listening to them.
Don't have
to. And you want to say to him, so young people aren't listening to podcasts anymore? Fuck. Okay. All right. We got to age up this thing. We got to age up this thing.
Time to...
Let's talk about joint pain.
YouTube.
A lot of...
YouTube, guys.
Talk about... RRSPs. We got to talk about things the older folks like.
Yeah.
Mutual funds.
Going down to Palm Springs. Going golfing. Going golfing in Palm Springs. Ugh, so hot down there. Ooh, and...
Are you back to the retirement home now, Dave?
It's true.
Have you quantum leaped back?
I have.
Have you done your unfinished business here?
I was kind of transferring my mind to the gym change room. Just imagining the conversations in there, because that's... Old guys talking about their old guy problems.
Yep.
And I'm not quite there yet. I'm not at that old guy level. I'm still relatively not old. So I'm not saying I'm young. That would make me a liar. But what I'm saying is I'm not dead in my heart.
I got a little bit of trivia for you, Dave.
Sure.
And this is a tiny little bit of a spoiler for anyone who has not seen all of the Phase 2 Marvel movies. Here's the thing. But Dave, I know you have.
Okay.
So basically it's like all the latest Marvel movies.
Yes.
Okay. So they, maybe you've read about this, and if you have, it's fine.
Okay.
But they've done a tribute to Star Wars in all of these movies.
Really?
And the tribute is the same tribute.
Okay.
They do something in all of these movies
that
happens in Empire Strikes Back. What is that thing that they've done in all of these movies that they did in Empire Strikes Back? It's a big scene in Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
And they've recreated it over and over again in this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Someone gets their hand cut off.
That's right. Every one of the movies.
I was going to say that before you gave it away, but that's fine.
Oh, did I give it away?
Yeah, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing.
Give it away now.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yep, so they've done that. Every one of the films. There are hands of flying.
Hands of flying. That's interesting. Yeah, and we did kind of spoil Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Hopefully you saw Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., everybody.
You don't know whose hands going flying.
Well, that's true enough. What did you think of that double season ender?
I thought it was good. It's weird how it seemed like they had some budget, which was
as
nice.
Always.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a nice one. Yeah, when there's a dub, you know, the end. But you know, I don't feel like that show gets too cheap. But okay.
Mm-hmm. Listen, the show is mostly about two people going. Do you trust me? I trust you. Do you trust me?
Yeah.
I trust you. Well, we got to trust each other.
Well, they are spies.
Because trust is the only way.
They are spies.
All right, we're going to trust each other then. Okay. Sure. Well, you shouldn't trust me. Why? Because I am your evil twin. What? Fight, 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 fight.
It's not quite that simple, but okay.
Yeah. I betray you. Oh, no, betrayer. Okay, I betrayed you last week, but this week I'm with you. Yay. Fight, 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 fight. No, it was fine. I think one of the problems is you've got the Inhumans movie coming up.
Okay.
And I guess I want a little more from my Inhumans than, you know, we have a village. Oh, it's a beautiful village. Yes, it's a beautiful village full of people who aren't quite powered yet. But one day they hope to be.
Yeah.
Oh, except for this one guy. He's got lots of powers.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. And this other guy, he's got some powers.
Yeah.
Everyone else is just a person. We're all hanging out here waiting for one day. Maybe we'll get some powers.
Yeah.
Oh. Could we just come back when you have... No, no! Stay! You must stay in the village where we all wait for possibly some
your
powers.
Your turn to come.
Yeah, it feels like they're all part of a religion. So if you're that, well, let's see a little bit about that religion. Let's see about how your culture works.
Yeah.
And instead, you know, they kind of went for the right to it, wah-ha-ha, you know, da-da-da-da thing. And it's fine.
Yeah, it kind of raced to that point. But I guess it had kind of built up a little bit, but it felt... It did feel a little forced, but I do enjoy that show.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it as well. I'd like I want them to do a little more each week. I like what they do character wise. Mm-hmm. You know, it just feels like you've got an interesting world to work with, and they do stuff sometimes. Like you'll have an Asgardian drop by, but like, well, do a little more with that.
I don't really like that.
You don't like when the Asgardians drop by?
No, I don't like that.
I liked it the first time with Sif because finally someone's throwing someone around and it's like, oh yeah, we are in a superpowered world. Whereas everyone was just regular kung fu skills.
I liked the better one. It was more like a spy show.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like they're going to get away from that because they're talking now about having like Sky being the in command of some sort of superpowered shield unit.
Secret shield.
Yeah. And you feel like, meh.
And it felt like a little bit of a waste of Edward James Olmos.
I guess so, but he...
I mean, I like when they bring in a big...
I shouldn't say... Yeah. I like when you have someone like that who, you know, it's a surprise what happens to them.
Yeah.
That's fun. Yeah, I didn't... No, I thought it was... I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I felt like it didn't insult me. That's an important thing for a show to do.
Yeah, it was... and... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I do really like the show, too. I'd like them to use a little bit more imagination. Mm-hmm. I'd like them to have at least as much imagination, let's say, as Buffy did. Like, I look at that as a good kind of, you know...
For a few years, it was very good, yeah.
Yeah, well, not even... But
and it was a slow,
even
steady...
if you didn't think it was good, they still went places and did things and showed you new worlds. And it feels like, you know, with this show, they don't want to take you too far into new worlds.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, show us some new worlds that they're not going to do in the movies. Show us something that we haven't seen before. You know, that would be interesting. You know, what they have done is they've done that character-wise.
Yeah, but that's what I like more than action and stuff like that. Or seeing different dimensions, whatever you're envisioning. I don't know. I've enjoyed the, you know... I mean, it's hard for them. They'll never duplicate the Ward betrayal, which I think was like the best thing they did in the show so far. So that's a one-time only deal, though. But that was the most emotionally effective thing that they did because it was so surprising. It came out of the blue for me as a viewer.
Yeah.
And
because you made your Captain America character your worst guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but, I really, people were, well, that's surprising. And his appearances of since then have been really effective because they've basically made him into like a kind of a crazy villain almost, like, but...
Who thinks he's right.
Who thinks he's good.
He's got, it's nice to give your villain a motivation where they really think they're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and, no, let me explain. I'll explain. No, you're just crazy. No, I'm going to do this horrible thing to you while I'm explaining why I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's an interesting character. And, like, I have enjoyed that. I've also really, like, you know, I have my shows.
So you like watching your stories.
I watch my stories. And I just have a limited couple of them because I don't have a lot of free time. So Person of Interest is wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a really interesting season this year because, you know, the interesting kind of backstory to the show, they finally kind of brought to the foreground, I thought, this year, which was, you know, this guy created a being that is autonomous And what is the ramifications of having, you know, autonomous beings that are basically superpowered, superpowered amoral creatures in control of us? You know, what's the ramifications of that? So we've had, and so this last season was two competing systems.
Mm-hmm.
One completely amoral, just, you know, obviously created to want power. And the other, for somehow, was granted some sense of justice and sense of fair play, or you know, that. And it's been interesting because you've had these two competing systems, and this season ended with the last season ended with, oh, well, that's it for us. Like, now we have to hide. So we can't be what we were. We have to be like this low key. And now it's even lower than that now. this season was just like, now we don't even have the other machine anymore. Like, we have no protection from this monstrous AI. And that's how the season ended. And I thought, well, that's fun because we just don't know where it's going to go.
Yeah.
And it's not a show that's shied away from getting rid of characters. So you just don't know where are they going? So it's been really good. And now we're getting close to the end of Grimm, which is our other favorite show to watch.
By the end of just the season.
The season ender, yeah. So the season's starting to wrap up. And so in that one, the main character, the Grimm, who has these powers to detect these.
See monsters.
Yeah, well, these people that are kind of live amongst us.
Ooh, that's a good name for a show. S-E-E Monsters.
Hmm?
Sea Monsters.
S-E-A?
No, S-E-E.
Oh, okay.
Because he can see monsters.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Or call it Grimm. But anyway, so his significant other, because of this spell that she had to do in order to get his Grimm powers back, became like an evil creature. And so this woman that he loved is now this evil being.
Does the Grimm have to kill these monsters?
Not always.
What's he do with the monsters?
Some of them are evil. Some of them
okay, but do. It is an evil monster. Ones, what's he do?
Kills it.
Kills it.
Yeah.
Does he take a trophy or something? Just leaves it there?
Yeah, that's it.
So he kills, like, say, a big bad...
They're often like, gotten rid of by him.
So he kills, like...
He doesn't leave bodies lying around.
That's what I mean. Like, he kills a genie, right? Or yeah. Something, someone... I don't know what he'd kill.
They're more like, kind of fairy tale creatures. So yeah, it'd be, so like, I mean, like, a part wolf or whatever.
Oh, right,
so.
A part wolf.
Yeah.
So he kills a part wolf.
Yeah.
He's dead. He's in the woods. Does he...
Now he's back. He's a human again. He looks like a human once they die.
So he just looks like a murder victim in the woods.
Yeah, exactly.
Do people think there's a lot of murders going on in the woods?
He gets rid of those bodies.
How does he get rid of them?
Just finds a place for them. Hopefully, he doesn't do it too often, so it's not like they're piling up. It's not like Dexter, where there's like a bay full of bodies and garbage bags. You know, it's just...
Okay.
You know, the odd time this has happened. Or they get killed in the line of duty, because he's a policeman, right? So it's part of his job.
He's also a policeman.
Yeah, exactly.
So he goes out on a mission. Like he goes.
What do you mean a mission?
A call. He goes on a
call. Okay, goes on a call.
A call. We got a domestic disturbance.
That's right.
And he goes in, and there's a wife there who's punching her husband.
Yeah.
And then he looks at the wife, and he sees that she's a witch.
Yeah.
Is that the kind of thing that happens on the show?
Sure.
Okay, and then he's got to kill the witch.
No, not necessarily.
He just goes, hey, I know you're a witch. And she knows, oh, you're a Grimm.
Yeah.
And,
they can tell right away that he's a Grimm.
Now, what's a Grimm's job?
To protect humans from these creatures.
Okay, who gives them that job?
It's just a hereditary. It's just something that comes down to you.
Is there only one a generation?
Kind of. It's like a genetic heritage. Yeah, there's other. But yeah, there's
did
other.
He know that he was a Grimm off the top, or
no.
Did he get introduced to this information?
He became one.
How?
It just sort of happened to him, like kind of like going through
puberty.
Yeah.
But as a grown man.
Yep.
He started getting...
Suddenly he's seeing these strange things.
Grimm hairs on his body that he didn't understand and feelings.
That's right. He broke out in grim acne. Yeah.
That would be pretty good if, like, in school you got taken into three rooms and it's like one is for the girls, then the boys, and then one's... What are you? I'm a Grimm. So you got to get the Grimm.
Well, there'd
film.
Be four because then there'd be the
monsters.
The Vessen, yeah.
Vessen is what they're called?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they're not called monsters because some of them are... People that are just like living their lives.
Right, because otherwise you know? It would be prejudice.
And they're harmless creatures.
Yeah, that's a bad thing evil. When you're like, I'm going to kill everyone who's this species.
Yeah.
Well, now you're Hitler.
And that's how it used to be. But he's not like that because he's a policeman, so he has a different honor code that isn't like a Grimm that's just like out and out slaughtering all these things just for the heck of it.
Are there still other Grimms that do slaughter like that?
We haven't really seen too many of them. So, like I say, his partner. She has gone from being a cute and fun veterinarian to an evil creature.
Well, let me ask you this about his partner.
Through no fault of her own.
Sure.
By the way. So that's a problem.
Now, did her... Okay. Wow, it's actually, I'm not going to say what show, but it's the reverse of what happened on another show that we watched.
Okay.
Going from evil to being a veterinarian. okay, here's what I want to ask about that. You know, with his partner,
that's
did
right.
the first season, she not know,
that's
and
right.
it bugged her a lot. And like, why are you going? And then she found out.
She felt like he was keeping something from her.
Right, yeah. as always.
Yeah.
And then she found out.
Yeah.
And then they kind of teamed up on this kind of business. And then, sort of. And then now she's got to be evil.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems standard.
It seems like a ripoff.
That's one of my least favorite.
It was done in an interesting way, and it has been very emotionally interesting.
I don't.
And
go ahead.
Like, there's a family heritage of all this information, these books and weapons and stuff like that have been collected through generations. And a couple of shows ago, she burned it to the ground. Mm-hmm. And it was really, you were super mad at her. Like, you were so mad. Like, you couldn't believe how mad you were. You've never been so mad to see someone burn a camper in your life. But because it's such a betrayal of him, you know, but you know that that's where her character is. So because she feels betrayed.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't ask for this in my life. And now here I am, this creature, and I'm going to get back at you. And it's really, yeah, it's been a really interesting dynamic. And now, there was a real revelation in the last one that was very emotionally, even more emotionally disturbing. And so that was the end of that end of the episode before the finale. So
All right.
Now tomorrow night we're all just have to get through work tomorrow.
Nice. Okay. Well,
that's my attitude.
I hope you enjoy.
That's my attitude. Just get through work.
And listen, when you come to see us at VanCaf, you can ask Dave what he thought of it.
Yeah. Because
he will have seen it by that point.
For sure.
Now, this is something that I don't like in TV shows. I don't like the dumb first season where they've got to keep the secret from the friends.
Yeah.
And then, you know, by the second season or third season, they tell the secret to the friends.
Yeah.
And the friends are like, oh, why didn't you tell me? Well, I didn't think I could. Oh, okay. And then there's no problem with the fact that they will always keep the secret and it's fine.
Yeah.
And it just feels like show after show after show does the you got to keep a secret thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, what does that buy you nowadays? What's it buy you?
Yeah.
It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumb. They did it on The Flash until they stopped doing it on The Flash. And now they've stopped doing it on The Flash. Who cares? It's fine. Just tell the damn secret. You're the asshole, you know, when you keep that kind of thing from people. And it never makes sense in like a superhero or fantasy story because the old trope is this. It's like, oh, if I told Lois my secret, she'd be in danger. Except she's in danger every week, you jackass.
Yeah.
They know that she's your friend. They're already going for her. The only problem is she doesn't know she's with you. You're not giving her enough information to be safe, you turd.
See, that's why Nick should have listened to his aunt's advice when she told him what was happening to him. And she said, you have to break up with her. You know, you can't have her in your life and be a Grimm. And he said, no, I can do this. I can make it work. So first he tried to have it as a secret so she wasn't involved with his life that was so dangerous.
Yeah.
And then when he did get her involved in it, it turned out it was very dangerous. And now she's been changed. And so
this happens.
It's good.
But she should, it's still, I believe, and I don't believe the truth is always the best idea. But I do believe, I believe the truth is always the best idea if you're in a superhero or a fantasy film. Tell everybody everything.
Yeah.
Spill the beans to all your friends.
But that's what I mean.
Let them all know.
Yeah, let people know. If you're having problems, let people know. Don't lie to people.
Because here's the problem, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah.
The rest of the damn school doesn't know why the snake's attacking. They don't know that the Slayer's here and there's a Hellmouth.
Yeah.
Speak up, you jerk. Because then maybe we'll have some snake repellent.
Yeah.
And some guns.
And we'll be aware that there's vampires and we'll be on the lookout for it.
Yeah.
Instead of just getting surprised while we're walking through the graveyard.
Yeah, you're
minding our own business.
Well, we're walking through an alley like a bunch of jackasses because we don't know this shit.
Sure.
Spread the word, awful. You know, but they panic. They're going to panic when they get eaten. They're going to panic when the entire city gets sucked down into a hellhole. So just speak up now. It's like if you had a haunted house show and you never tell anyone there's a ghost and everyone keeps getting killed. And it's like, I can't tell them. It would endanger them if I told them there was a ghost in this house that kills people. No, it wouldn't. Speak up. That's what I'm saying to you, superheroes and fantasy characters out there.
Speak up.
Yeah.
Be honest. Follow Dave's advice.
Yeah.
Honesty is the best policy.
If you see something, say something.
Not insulting people, honesty. I mean, honesty.
Not there's a vampire behind you, stupid.
No.
Don't do that.
I mean, honesty about your life, you know?
Yep.
Be honest.
That's what we...
If you tell the truth, of course it's painful. But in the long run, it's better than keeping secrets from people.
And then you might think...
Everyone's going to find out eventually.
Right. You might think like, well, then this person won't like me. And it's like, well, then they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because they're a jerk. You know, they're the kind of person who doesn't like the kind of person you are. So, yeah, spill the beans. Well, this is my big problem with secret identity stories. Because secret identity stories basically say, people around me will only be safe if I don't tell them who I really am.
Yeah.
And what a terrible message that is for people. It's awful.
Yeah.
You know? No, tell them who you are. Now you're building a family. And there you go. Speaking of which, was watching Guardians of the Galaxy again last night.
Very good movie.
And I know some people were complaining about, you know, Gamora not having enough to do. Like,
Who was complaining with that?
People were.
I wish they'd stop that.
I think the problem is, and this is...
No, there's no problem.
No, this is the problem, is there's a shitty amount of merchandise with, like, Black Widow and Gamora and whatever, and the people who make the merch for superheroes don't put her on shirts as much, don't put Black Widow on shirts as much, they don't play that up as much.
Yeah.
But, you know, the idea that she's there to be a love interest, I was watching it again last night, and no.
Yeah.
There is one almost kiss, almost, and then she says no to it, and then it's never brought up again.
Yeah.
But what it is, it's about loners finding a family.
Sure.
And by the end of it, you see them all together, and it's not a romantic thing. Maybe they'll do that in the next film. Who knows? But as it is there, it's a bunch of weirdos that have just all lost their families. Yeah. All of them lost their families, and now they've got a new family, and that's what it was about. And that's a hell of an interesting message to put into a sci-fi fantasy comedy film. So good on you, Guardians of the Galaxy movie, and bad on you people that thought it was like, oh, it's just romantic. No, it's not. It's about family, and good for them. Anyway, was Marvel pay us to do this?
Yeah,
dancing?
I know. We should start. I'm going to just write them a letter and ask for some money.
And the weird thing is, we do this in the middle of the city where they shoot all the DC TV shows.
Yeah.
I'm sure The Flash is running by right now. I bet Firestorm's over there. I'm Arrow is probably jumping off a roof, and both Black Canary and White Canary are doing stuff, and Red Arrow's over there.
Can't work up any interest.
Yeah, I like the Flash okay sometimes.
Okay.
And I'll watch the first episode of the new Legends show they got coming up. That looks good. Oh, you know what looks good, though?
I always see them ending.
Do you know what does look good?
Okay.
Though, speaking of Black Widow, they did a Black Widow sketch on Saturday Night Live a little while ago where she's working for a fashion magazine, and it was a very funny sketch. Now they've got the new Supergirl series coming out. She's working for a magazine much like that. But they
who's
did
it for
real.
Super
it's
who?
Supergirl.
Oh, Supergirl.
There's a new
okay.
Supergirl series.
Oh, okay.
And the actual trailer looks good. Like, it looks like she's having a good time being Supergirl. It's a good character piece. They got some good jokes in it. You watch it and you go, yeah, this is going to be fine.
Huh.
Except she's got the same job as the joke Black Widow
character. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and
maybe they knew that.
I should be wrapping up, but just want to say another thing really quick.
Sure.
There's a thing on Saturday Night Live this week where they did a sketch, and the sketch was kind of a win, loser, draw type Pictionary type thing.
Sure.
And the gag was, you know, it's for $1 million, and so draw the Prophet Muhammad.
Okay.
And it's like, I don't want to draw this. And he doesn't draw it, and there you go. And finally, because he doesn't do it, the person guesses, is it the Prophet Muhammad? Yeah, it is. And he wins. And it's good times. We all have a good laugh, good sketch. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Then the controversy, because 22 Minutes did a sketch similar 6 months ago, or in January or what have you.
Okay.
And they did it not very well, but they did it. They actually called it win, lose, or draw. They did it in such a sloppy... It's weird. Okay, so right now, there's like people who have done the sketch are now saying that they feel that Saturday Night Live ripped off their sketch months later.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, there was a draw Muhammad contest recently, and that's why it was back in the news, and that's why they did it.
Okay.
But it just seems so gross to like go, you ripped us off. Like, this is the attitude of like Saturday Night Live ripped us off. No, it was clearly low hanging fruit. Clearly.
Yeah.
And also, when you watch the two sketches side by side, it just makes me so embarrassed for Canadian TV, because you watch the Canadian one and it's like, okay, the American one has two couches because it's a competition, right?
Yeah.
And the Canadian one has one couch. Well, then who are you competing against? The American version has a drawing already on the paper, or that someone's drawing something, but it looks like a loose drawing, the kind you do for Pictionary.
Okay.
In the Canadian version, they've got a fully beautifully done cartoon dog drawn on there, like you'd never do for Pictionary. Think about this for half a fucking second. And then you throw in terrible laugh track on the Canadian version and the worst wigs you've ever seen in your fucking life. And it just made me throw up my hands and just go, fuck it. Yeah. I work in Canadian sketch comedy.
They gotta use all those.
Fuck it.
I have to use all those wigs from Air Force.
Oh, like
they're just sitting, getting dusty. They need to use them.
I used to do a sketch comedy show in the late 90s, early 2000s here.
It was a very good show.
Thank you very much. But we had the worst wigs in the world. Like, and I look at the wigs that we had to wear. There was one wig that my friend Roger had to wear.
Yeah.
That was just, we just like still talk about it to this day of just like, that was a hell of a wig, huh? That they thought that was fine. And that wig looks exactly like the wig that they're wearing in the win, lose, or draw sketch in 22 minutes. And
it is the same wig.
Look, 22 minutes. You've got money. I know you've been on so long.
Yeah.
Here's how long they've been on. Dave and I were in a sketch comedy show that we were competing to be on at the same time when they started. That's how long ago that was. That's a long time ago.
It is a long time
ago. That's 1990. That's a long time ago. That's long. Anyway, you've been on since that time. You've made some money.
Yeah.
Buy some fucking wigs. Don't just go to the costume store.
No.
Don't get the $20 wig.
Don't.
Go to the damn wig store. The real wig store for people who need wigs.
Don't have Vancouver ship some of their excess wigs out.
Damn it. That wig just made me so fucking mad. It made me mad. Someone, you know, getting on their high horse about stealing things. That made me mad. But then when I saw the wig, it was just like, fuck it. Fuck it. Just fuck it. Anyway, Dave, that's pretty much it for me.
I just want to say one more thing before we
please,
go then.
Please, have we got a test for me to take?
Yeah, I got a 4-hour test. Are you a gorilla?
Okay, is your name? Do you answer question, to Grodd?
Do you like bananas? No, I was... You asked me earlier today what was scary to me.
Oh, okay. Are you going to say something really scary and then leave me alone in the office?
Yeah, that's right.
And then just like throw rocks at the window?
But I was thinking today, I was actually talking to Melissa about this today. What's scary to me is the idea, and it's... I was reading an article about it in the papers. That's what made me think about it. Is the idea of going to Mars. Like being part of this Mars mission that they're talking about?
Okay, Mars one, yeah.
It's terrifying.
Why is that?
Because you can't come back. I just don't like the idea.
All right, yeah, let's say you can't
irrevocable,
come back.
You can't.
All right, let's say you
it's
can't
an irrevocable come back. Decision. You can't right. come back from it?
No, I'm saying, well, there's no can't, but go ahead.
But it's you. Part of the deal is that you don't get to come back, right?
That's what they say, yes.
So I'm they're telling you up front.
I'm going to give you the, yeah, I'm going to give you the conceit that you can't come back. Let's go with that.
They're telling you up front.
You can't come back.
You can't change your mind. Once you've made this decision
right.
to go there and live the rest of your life
right.
in rather austere circumstances, mm-hmm. you know, in tiny huts. I don't know right. what exactly it's going to consist of.
But. You will always be remembered, though, as one of the first people to ever go to Mars. You will be part of history.
Oh, well.
All right. Then that's not the kind of thing that interests you.
No, but I mean, do you think Abraham Lincoln was looking forward to being the first president who gets shot in the head? No, if someone told him,
it's a different kind of history.
If someone said
to
you,
it's a totally different kind of history.
But you know what I mean. If you were going to, I was going to remember you for something that's terrible.
You want to be the pioneer.
It's both terrible. It's terrible. Okay. It's horrifying to me the idea that you cannot come back from this thing. Like, what if you change your mind? Mm-hmm. What if you get there and you discover
you will change your mind?
That you got to do often, a lot of probably. You got to do a lot of small talk.
Oh, because you're an introvert. So oh my god! You don't want to spend all that time talking to people.
Oh my god! Yeah. Okay. Like, I don't know. Here, like, I was reading about it. They're talking about, like, they have to find out, like, how stable people are. Right. And so here's the test for me to find out if you're stable and or if you're, like, a sane person. Here's the question. Do you want to go to Mars forever? If you answer yes, then you should not go to Mars forever. Did that you, should be, like, the test right there.
Last year, when we did the Vancouver Fan Expo, were you there when the woman came up and talked at our table? About going to Mars. Like, she was one of the people who was in whatever they had culled it down to this, then this, then this. She was in one of the last of the groups.
My God.
And she was talking about this, and I looked her up, and she was. So, yeah. Poor I'm sorry you didn't get a chance to talk. No, she seemed fine with it.
I guess so.
Here's the thing. I have been, there's a podcast called, and this is a weird one to bring this up on, but America's Test Kitchen. It's a weekly show about cooking. But they were talking
about. I believe
it
also is a TV show.
Yes, it is.
You're not surprising anyone.
It's also a radio show where people call in and like, caramel, what? And they tell you things to do. But there's always some interesting guests. And they had a guest on who is one of the people who is trying to go to Mars.
Poor guy.
And
poor girl.
Scientists basically think, well, this ain't going to work. You can't. You just get, you die. You die. You get cancer immediately. And
is that right?
Dead. Yeah. You can't.
Why?
Can't shield from that much radiation for that amount of time.
Oh, okay.
You can't do it. Also,
there's
you
not enough not enough atmosphere to shield these
that
people.
That was one
from...
of the things they were saying. Also, there's a lot of problem while they were talking on this show about like how you feed a person for that amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, in that kind of situation.
It's terrible.
They had two episodes on the. On
you can
the
be the first skeleton. On Mars.
Some people would do that. Like, some people want to be part...
Why would you...
Because some people want to be part of history and want to be part of science.
But that's the thing. That should mean that you shouldn't be going.
Why?
Because you are not, you're not a balanced person. If that's the reason that you want to go, so you can become a part of history, i.e. be a skeleton laying on the floor of place where you slowly died.
If you were an explorer in the old timey days, and like, we're going to go and try and find...
Yeah, it's insane.
Oh, so you think those people
the
are
the history
crazy
of
too.
Arctic expeditions?
Yeah.
Like, you, one of them was enough. Like, it should have just been like a moral lesson. Like, everyone should have been like, oh, fuck
so
it.
So they were all crazy.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Then,
they're
right,
like insane thrill seekers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I can do it.
All right.
2 days later. All right, guys. So long. I'm making the big walk now. Goodbye, everyone. This is for the good of you all. Why did we come? What? Why did we make this decision? And now we're having to sacrifice ourselves.
Let me say this.
Stiff upper lip, chaps.
So you're thinking they're crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. But here's the thing. Let me tie this all back in.
Tie it all. Tie it together.
Our
with a bow.
Waiter tonight. Yes. When you told him that you do a podcast, he asked, what do you do a podcast about? Well, it's kind of a stream of consciousness thing. We just go and we make things up.
Yeah.
And he went, so you don't have any topics beforehand?
No.
And you said to him, no, no, we just kind of make it up.
Yeah.
And he said to you, wow, you know, that takes a lot of nerve to do that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Well, he meant it.
So
like,
he thought you were a crazy fucking bastard for doing this.
Yeah, but I can quit.
This is probably.
I can leave. I can leave anytime.
This is probably hit.
This could be the last show if I decide. Can't. If I say 180, that is enough Sneaky Dragon for me.
No,
I can walk away.
All of those episodes.
I'm not stuck here.
No, all those.
I'm not
episodes,
stuck here.
All those episodes you did with your voice out there.
Yeah,
they're out there forever.
Well,
people
that's
have
fine, but I'm not.
No,
I'm
to
personally
him,
not stuck.
To him, that's crazy. Like, imagine if you said to him,
"Yeah,
there's a hey, guess what? You're telling personal stories about yourself on the air.
Sure,
personal stories.
Yep.
About." When you were in the most pain of your life, you're telling what you're the most scared of. You're opening yourself up. And by the way, people around the world are downloading these and they're on their phones. Oh, and you think I can just erase these all from our webpage.
Yeah,
that's lovely. Everyone's already got them on their phones. They're all over the world. You don't know who's listening to this. You don't know what crazy people are listening to this and what they're doing while they listen to it. Some people listen to our podcast without clothing, Dave. Some people listen to it in bed. Some crazy people, guys sharpening an axe while listening to your voice just going, one day. One day, Bessie, one day you're going to find a home in Dave. That's what he's scared of. And Dave's down. Dave is down for the count.
Oh, sorry. That was too much for me there.
Yeah, terrifying.
Overwhelming.
You are that waiter's worst nightmare. You don't
really
have the knees for
knee.
That. Don't
I really
do that.
Hurt my knee.
Tomorrow's not a leg day at the gym,
did?
Is it?
Do you know what I did at the gym the other day? I thought it would be funny. I thought it'd be funny. I was doing some ball exercises, you know, when you have the giant.
That's a little personal.
The giant. Yes, that's right.
Hey, Dave, are you sure this is a gym?
Me and my testicle. Well, it's part of my freak
all I've
show
heard
training.
All I've heard so far
is
there's a bunch
show
of
training.
Naked guys showering. Yeah. Are you sure it's a gym?
Just doing
are
some,
there weights?
Just doing some weightlifting with my testicle.
Okay.
And no, I was on one of those giant inflatable balls.
Yeah.
Right? Just getting worse and worse.
Yep.
And I was doing some exercise on it. It's
sure you are.
Dolphin kicks, let's say. Okay. And then I thought it would be kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just sliding off it backwards or forwards, this is my want, usually backwards. I decided, oh, it'd be kind of funny if I just kind of fell sideways. And so then I just let myself fall.
Yeah.
And I started falling. And I realized, oh my God, this is like a 2.5-inch or 2.5-foot ball. Like, you know, it's a big ball.
Yeah.
And I'm falling onto the floor now from a ball and I have no control.
Nope.
And it's just like this enormous thud as I fell onto the floor. I was thinking, oh my God, I'm so happy it's early morning. I hope no one watched me do that. Because it was a hard fall. Like, it wasn't like a soft little like,
well,
oof.
Can you
it was like a major, ugh.
Just think how many people, seriously, are at the emergency ward and the doctor says to them, why did you do this?
Yeah.
And they say, and how many people answer, I thought it'd be funny.
Probably is quite a few. I thought their answer was going to be, because I want to go to Mars.
There you are.
Yeah.
If you want to go to Mars, a lot of you are science-minded out there. Would you go to Mars? Let us know. We're at sneakydragon.com.
Mars eats women.
Okay. As long as it doesn't need moms, that did not go well.
No, that's his
Berkeley
one.
Breathed. Oh, he did that.
His last.
Oh, boy, that guy. Oh, I don't know why I feel so sad for Berkeley Breathed.
Because he's doing fine.
I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure some of those Build-A-Cat things are still paying. Anyway, all right. Anyway, maybe we'll have him on the show sometime. He won't be at Bandcamp, though.
No.
If you got something to add, and we love hearing from you, sneakydragon.com is our website. We're also on Facebook. Obviously, that's where everyone has to be. Otherwise, the government goes, why aren't you on here?
Yeah.
And then they put you on there.
Because we can't follow you.
And the only way you can get off there is if you put some nudity up. then they kick you off there. That's the only way.
Is that right?
That's how the government gets nudity. We are sneaky underscore dragon at
At least
Twitter.
Someone gets nudity.
Yeah. SneakyD at SneakyDragon.com is our website. And we appreciate it if you, and if you have the time and the patience, go
and
to...
And the grammar.
And the grammar. To review our show on iTunes, that helps other people find us.
Yeah.
Just go to iTunes and...
Also, we get to read them. And that's a real pleasure.
And then that's how we feel about ourselves for the day.
That's right. It's like big pump up.
Dave sometimes gets so surprised by reviews, he falls off his giant ball. And sometimes he even does it at the gym.
That's right.
Yeah, just go, you click review, you write a quick review, and then people go, oh, maybe I should listen to this show. So there you are. And I hope you do come to see us at VanCaf if you're in town. If again, if this is Saturday or Sunday when this is dropping,
yeah,
and you want a special shirt or something, we will probably do it for you. So contact us by one of those ways, and we'll have something special for you waiting there. And you know, even if you don't come, we'll have some special stuff that we'll be giving away at the table. So
yep,
just come say hi. We really like to hear from you.
That's true. I'm not going to argue with you about that.
And just ask Dave to do one of his famous pratfalls when we're there.
I will do it for you. I shouldn't, but I'll do
David,
it.
David No Knees Dedrick is what they call him.
That did hurt quite a bit.
I know. I heard that.
So
I was like,
dumb.
Yeah, but you know,
man,
you know what? You're still young. You're still young.
No,
you're still. You're not. You're amazing. Not in that nursing home yet.
Man, I used to be able to do some falls when I was a young man.
You can still do them, only
oh,
once.
Well,
though.
Yeah, that's a problem. I can do them once and then walk around with a limp.
That's right, Johnny Dust. Johnny Dust inside. Yeah.
It's true.
Why do they call you Crystal? Tink. And there you go. Bull versus China Shop. Anything else you got to say before we wrap this up?
Don't go to Mars.
Don't go to Mars. And I say, you know that stuff that you're worried about right now? Don't worry about it. We all might just be old people looking back on this with some sort of device on our heads from a nursing home in the future. So enjoy what you got right now. It's fine. Go enjoy it. And
I
if you got
wish.
A pet, go pet that pet. All right. Thanks so much for listening. I've been Ian.
I've been David.
And thank you for your kind attention.
Sneaky Dragon! My new sign-off.
Letting people know what the show is.
At the end.
Hey, in case you were wondering.